No crime may be considered more reprehensible in America than sexual molestation, especially of children. To many, the sexual assault of a child is less comprehensible than murder. In recent years, prosecutors and police around the country have been aggressive in pursuing such crimes. They've often worked with psychiatrists and social workers to put children at ease in making such charges. But have they also put thoughts in their minds and words in their mouths? Have some officials been so eager to facilitate the testimony of children and people who believe they've been molested that they have wrecked lives with false accusations? Dorothy Rabinowitz of the Wall Street Journal won the Pulitzer Prize in 2001 for columns that investigated cases in which not only were innocent people jailed, but crimes that may never have occurred were prosecuted. Her new book is No Crueler Tyrannies, and Dorothy Rabinowitz joins us from New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be here, and to begin by saying may is probably not a word I would use. It's entirely clear that nobody committed those crimes of which the particular people I'm talking about were charged. It was something that grew from one of our regular paroxysms of virtue. And this was the time of experts who could tell parents, who you would think knew their children well, mm-hmm. that they didn't know what was happening to their children in these nursery schools.
The way you describe it, in fact, I think one of the experts you write about in the book talks about something called child abuse accommodation syndrome, where the argument seemed to be if the child denied anything that happened, that simply confirmed that everything had happened.
Indeed. When I first began my very first look at one of these cases, the Margaret Kelly Michaels case of a schoolteacher in New Jersey, Eileen Tracy, favorite investigator for the prosecution, introduced the theory of the child abuse accommodation syndrome, whose main thesis was the more a child says, no, it didn't happen, the surer you could be that something happened to him, something very bad. A child's no meant yes.
The case you're talking about specifically, I guess, was the We Care Day Nursery in Maplewood, New Jersey.
Yes. I have to tell you, and I should say, I hadn't the slightest interest in nursery schools, but it occurred to me when I was a television reporter in New Jersey that there was something extremely odd about seeing a young woman of 28 charged with thousands of charges of child sex abuse, of molesting 20 children, smearing peanut butter over them, and taking them to magic rooms. All this was very new to me, but none of it ever made any sense. And you can ask, how did a jury convict someone on charges that are on the face of it utterly incredible? Well, I got the trial transcript, which told one everything. The jurors never knew that the children were asked, did anything happen to you? What did Kelly do to you? And they all said, no, 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 nothing happened to me. And that they were submitted to days and indeed weeks of questioning that broke them down. Too flattery, too implicit threats that they were betraying their little friends who had already helped, to rewards, to detectives' badges, all of this. Now, you're a four-year-old child. These are four- and five-year-old children, and you see this large adult standing before you, implicitly saying, no, that's not the answer. And so this young woman was convicted, sentenced to some 48 years, and there we were.
You suggest that in seeking to make children more comfortable in talking about sex, prosecutors and mental health professionals often just put ideas in their minds.
Well, they do. When I first began writing this in the Wall Street Journal in 1995, I was by then writing about a family called the Amaralds. Several editors went home and asked their own children a couple of questions, and they came back to the office bedazzled. And that was because they said, my God, I can make my child tell me that his teacher was naked in the classroom, and I did it in 5 minutes. It was a very educational moment for them. When I speak of Margaret Kelly Michaels, I'm speaking of a case that is the prototype of virtually all the other cases. They use the same kind of evidence, the same kind of testimony, the same charges which should have raised questions. I mean, how many child predators want to lick peanut butter off children? It's a rather strange taste. Why would this happen around the country? Because the same expert prosecutorial witness
Eileen Tracy.
A number of people. Yeah. I mean, there was not, in my memory, a single one of these cases in which the charges were, he grabbed me, he took my pants down, and he fondled me, such as you read about in a regular, credible child abuse accusation. I mean, if a child said, as he did, Kelly Michaels turned me into a mouse, well, no one exactly wanted the jurors to hear that, but it would come out on the stand. Children would say these things. Jurors were asked to believe that they should accept part of what the children said, but the other part they can discard. And this is unheard of in a courtroom. So you are then faced with the jurors, who are faced with the prosecutors, who say to them, you know, these children have bravely come forward. Can you now tell these children that you are going to reject their heroism? It was very hard for the jurors not to come in with a guilty verdict, and there were very, very few acquittals. There were virtually none. So a whole passel of people faced what they did not understand at first was an inexorable drive to jail. The moment the first accusation came, they had no idea.
They believed a fair trial would acquit them.
That's right. And let me say that in the end, they were not disappointed if you don't count the years they spent in prison waiting. I mean, the system did ultimately work. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, lives were ruined irrevocably in the process.
Dorothy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Dorothy Rabinowitz, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist of the Wall Street Journal. Her latest book is No Crueler Tyrannies, Accusation, False Witness, and Other Terrors of Our Times.